For both the commissions?
I called people and asked if they wanted to buy it, like landscaping people.
This meeting will come to order? Here we have Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Sorry.
Councilman Woods. Councilman Sheldon. Councilman Tackett. Councilman Smiley. Councilman Cartier. Councilwoman Dillard. And to my right is my aide Kate Maxwell, and I am Council President Karen Hartley Nagel. First is agenda items, review of the boards and commissions, processes, and procedures. In reviewing all the boards and commissions, a few things have been brought to my attention. As far as I'm aware, there does not seem to be an official process when someone resigns. Typically, we are alerted by the staff person assigned to the specific board or commission of the resignation, and I am unsure what happens after. Councilman Tackett, you need something?
You need agendas?
He was looking for an agenda.
Okay. Might be under boards and commissions. I thought mine was under executive, but it was under boards and commissions.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I believe at the minimum we should be sending out a thank you letter on behalf of all of council. I'll now open it up for discussion. Councilman Cartier and then Tackett.
Obviously, this has been very neglected for a while, and I think it's great that we're having this meeting today and reviewing the status of our boards and commissions. I like your idea of sending a thank you. I mean, honestly, when people volunteer to help the governance of this county, I just think, you know, when they leave, they should be thanked. I mean, it's just courtesy. And I think that's a great idea. As far as notice when there's vacancies, very haphazard. And the other complicating factor is that the bulk of the boards and commission appointments are really originate from the executive side, and then we give consent. So if there's a lack of follow through on their side, it just, and then we have our own issues. But obviously, it's worth reviewing this to get our handle on it.
So do we want to move forward? One of the other things that we could do, and I don't know if the council wants to go this far, is do a resolution. You know, thanking them, because I mean they're giving their service, their time, you know, that they can be doing other things. I think that, you know, when they come off the board, it's under, you know, and with their agreement, you know, would you like a resolution? We'd like to do one for you. Do we want to go that far or just a thank you letter? Councilman Cartier.
Resolutions are easy to produce. They can go on the consent calendar.
Yep.
And I think that's a great gesture, and I think we can't, it's hard enough to get volunteers, and when you kind of just, we put people on these boards and commissions and isolate them, we really don't know what's going on. It's not a good thing. You know, it's just not courteous, it's not appreciative of their volunteer initiative. So I like that idea.
Yeah, I can say that I just met somebody this weekend, Saturday, for Black History Month at the YMCA, and he had been on one of our boards for 6 years and just came off, and it was just, you know, sort of done. Like, and he was wondering, is there any follow-up? Are you interested in what I learned, you know, or any recommendations I have? So I think it is a nice conclusion to, you know, that they feel thanked, that we appreciated their time and effort. Yes, Councilman.
Maybe we could give them a short survey as they leave, where they could make comments that would go to either the executive or the council. You know, because if we don't know that there are maybe something that is dysfunctional or not working right, or it was a great experience and here's what I learned. You know, I just think a feedback would be nice.
Right. In this particular instance, it was HR. So I know that we're getting a new one on, but why did the other one leave? You know, we don't, if there's no follow-up, we don't know that. So.
Well, they have terms.
Yeah, they have terms.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's just decided to leave in this instance. I can't speak for others. This was just this particular interaction. Okay. Anybody else? Councilman Tackett.
Yeah, I too think we probably have not done our due diligence and our volunteers and service on our board, and thank you for bringing this forward and bringing this to our attention. Also, another little component of this, and we've heard this a few times in the past, is, you know, some of the seats don't get filled all the time. You know, they're not showing up on a regular basis, you know, so probably ought to be some type of, you know, potential discussion around an attendance. You know, if you miss more than...
That's coming.
Three meetings or so.
Councilwoman Diller.
Well, I think the other question is it actually needed? And I really have encouraged the executive side to take a look, because if we are filling these positions, if they're not having meetings, why are we asking people to spend their time doing this? So particularly, I think, if you look at some of the housing boards, you know, that's something that really, I mean, Marcus talked about that the last time he was here. So I've communicated, at least with Brian Boyle, I really think they should be taking a look at these boards. And if they serve a function, that's great. You know, some of them are legally required. But if they are not serving a function and, you know, people are just being asked to meet for the purpose of a meeting, I think, yeah, I mean, can we not combine them? Can some of these go away? I mean, there's, I think there's a broader issue. You know, I certainly agree with thanking the volunteers, but there's a broader issue about what is needed and what isn't. And the staff time, because we're, you know, every time we create one of these things, we commit staff time for county employees to do the work.
And attorney time.
And attorney time, yes. So, I think there's a bigger issue here than just getting people on the boards.
Yes, Councilman Cartier.
And, of course, there are, you have to differentiate. Some of them exist under state code.
Yes, we know.
And they're highly, like the Board of Adjustment, that are, have a lot of heavy responsibilities, you well know, Council President. And other ones we create and kind of haphazard with it. So I know the Rental Advisory Committee, I don't even think has anybody there, which is embarrassing. So, yeah, we need a comprehensive review of this.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Wasaga County Auditor. Is the thank you letter going to be just for people who resign, or is it also going to be for those people whose term is up and elect not to renew? Because I think the letter should go to both.
Oh, yeah.
I think every, okay. From my perspective, everyone.
Yeah.
Next, secondly, is there a process for the removal of a board member when they stop attending the meetings and responding to requests? I'll open it up now for discussion. Councilman Cartier.
I have real-time experience with this. We had a member of our Design Review Advisory Committee, Claymont, who was chronically absent. The chairman wrote the previous administration two letters because under the bylaws of that, he had to be removed, and the administration chose not to do that until very belatedly. So, you know, that's a tough one to wrestle with, but I believe, you know, if there are bylaws governing the committee and people aren't showing up,
do we want to strictly enforce that, or do we want to make it more loose and under the chairman's discretion? How would you propose we do that?
Well, just one follow-up. You know, excused absence is one thing. People just don't bother to notify and just don't show up, and we have to enforce, in my opinion.
Okay. Councilwoman Kirkpatrick.
DRACs are a different animal than just the normal boards, even though that we appoint them, they have all written their own guidelines. So what holds for a DRAC and what they may have written in doesn't necessarily hold for the state-sanctioned boards and commissions or the county working boards.
So would you propose then that we more strictly enforce the state code according to whatever is it? Because I know the Board of Adjustment, we had certain criteria, and we were pretty, our chairman was pretty strict about it. You know, do we, so we, each one, like each of the boards, what I'm finding is different. I mean, not all are the same. So, but we'll be very, do you want to, let me make sure. Are you proposing that we strictly enforce what is already there?
No, I wasn't proposing anything. I was just saying that the difference between our DRAC is an overlay, and you requested and you write all of your criteria. I mean, there are whole sections of the code for each DRAC, which is very different than a boards and commission that's authorized through the through law, through the state code.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Yes, Councilman Smiley, then Diller.
My question, or whatever, I think we need to see clarity on is, number one, the majority of the appointments for boards and commissions come from the executive branch, not from council. And I believe the boards and commissions, they pretty much develop their own rules and guidelines. So my question is, who, because I've been down this road a couple of times without reaching the answer, is who exactly is responsible? Who can remove them? To me, it would be the chairman and the board that would send them the notice that they've been removed and then notify council there's a vacancy. I think that's the question that has to be answered. Who actually initiates that removal? Is it council, if it was a council appointment? Is it the executive, if it was an executive appointment? Or is it the actual board itself who's adopted their rules and have an obligation to enforce them? I just think that's, for me, that's a question I need to answer before I can give any further opinion.
Right, and I think that's a valid question. And as a follow-up, what we're finding is it's really come back on our boards and commissions to do the follow-up letters. And so I'm just seeking clarity how we want to do that moving forward, so it's very clear to both sides. Councilwoman Diller and then Kilpatrick.
I was going to say, I think that the person who is the current chair should be the person who initiates this. I mean, if they can't function, we've heard from chairs in the past when they're not able to function. I don't think that's something we initiate. I think that there's a reason we have these boards and commissions, and if they were to contact us and request assistance, I think that's when we figure that out. But I don't think we should be making rules and throwing people off of boards, and, you know, I think that we have to respect that process.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick and then Smiley.
Well, I think, first of all, if it's a board, we may authorize them to go on, but if there's nothing in the code that tells us how to get them
right.
off, we can't just go in
right.
and get them
exactly.
off. If it's not our appointment, we probably have absolutely no right to go in and take them off. Then you just wait for their term to be up and you just don't put them back on. You don't even give them that option. I would think that the research that would need to go into
yes.
this, and here goes my, you know, where she thinks that I'm way too detailed. Is that somebody needs to go through every board and every
yes.
commission, and they need to say, is it authorized by state law, and what does the state law say about it, what does the county law say about it, and what do their bylaws say? And by the time you go through all of that, you're going to know if there's a way to take them off or not take them off. And if you then choose to try to implement that, I think that if they write, if it's not something within the county code, we most likely have no control over it, so that would then be a state issue. Or if it's something where they write their own rules, then I would think the conversation would have to go on with the chairperson, and they would have to be able to get a quorum and a majority to make that change by themselves.
Actually, that's what I'm looking for, and I thank my aide, Kate Maxwell, for really looking into this, and that's what we're finding, is that each ones are different, and
right.
we need to know what we need to decide where we are in moving forward. And
that's
why
we pay
our
new attorney.
The executive side, our side, and who needs to do that. So it's very clear. I mean, this isn't that complicated if all the rules are clear. You know, it's a very easy process. But when it's not, it can get really confusing for both sides, which
this
it has.
This is government.
And a big part of my concern with council putting themselves on the front line for this is we're not at every meeting. I know they take attendance at every meeting. I don't know who on the board, assuming it's the chair, is deciding whose excuse is sufficient to be absent, whose isn't. Because what I don't want to see myself as part of this council and council as a whole be in the middle of this headline where we terminate the based on the attendance or lack of attendance of someone, and then we find out that, well, the chair doesn't like this one, but their friend has been absent twice as much as this person, but they liked them, so they didn't, you know what I mean, they approved every absence. So I'm just we just really need to tread carefully with what we get into, because in my short tenure on council, all of here, we've had a couple that have made headlines after people's terms have expired because they didn't get reappointed because they had an air of ownership of the committee. So we just really need, if we're going to not reappointing when the term's up, hey, I'm there, you know, that's it. But removing them during a term, that's just, as we're saying, and I think we all agree, that needs further study, and whoever is responsible, I think we need to have the council, whatever that's assigned to that committee, review with that committee, here's the rules, here's the bylaws, and henceforth, this is what we're going to enforce. And I think that's where it needs to come from. It's just, I got no problem getting on the front line, but I want to make sure it's for the right reason.
Okay, can I say, ask then that for the next meeting, that we go through each one and let let you know what the criteria is for each of the different boards and commission based on the state law, county law, and then come up with suggestions and then also incorporate your suggestions.
I would just ask if possible we had that in advance rather
certainly
than sitting here trying to go through each one. I mean, I got no problem. I can set a Saturday or a Sunday aside because we're going to go three laws for each committee or commission. It's going to take time unless we all have a chance to review in advance. That's all.
Okay, we can certainly send them in advance.
And I'll take mine in hard copy. It doesn't have to be electronic.
Any other comments on this issue?
We're doing those bug trees we're making paper out of now.
Okay, next, review the boards and commissions vacancy and candidate resumes. We were contacted by Denny Hardman in December of 2016, letting us know that two members, Eunice Moore and Faye Street, had not been in attendance for over 2 years. There are only two alternates that attend the meetings, Dominic Ferranti and Thomas Boyle. Right now, we have six positions open and two resumes for council consideration for appointment and reappointment. Resumes to consider have already been distributed. Dominic Ferranti, reappointment District 1 or 7 alternate. Thomas Boyle, current District 5 or 11 alternate, who wants to take the District 5 or 11 positions, which will leave his alternate spot open. And I'll open it up for discussion and review with the resumes. Ms. Diller?
I have no trouble with Thomas Boyle being appointed. And then we can look for an alternate. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, anyone else? Next, would anyone like to schedule interviews for the two resumes we have, or should we move forward with the reappointment process? And I think we addressed that.
Reappointment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Discussion? Okay. Any other comments? Next, the Audit Committee. As we all know, the members of the Audit Committee need to be reappointed, and we also have two vacancies. Resumes to consider that have already been distributed are Sharika Perkins, reappointment, Linda C. Bailey, reappointment, Stefan Cordano, reappointment. Resume to consider one or two vacancies, Martin Taylor, and now open it up for discussion and review of resumes. Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I would move that we move forward with the three for reappointment, and as has been our procedure, have the new person who's looking to be appointed come in for review by council.
Very good.
That's okay.
Okay, any more discussion? Everyone good? Community services, currently we have four resumes to review and two vacancies to fill. Resumes to consider that have already been distributed are Cecily Nixon, she has removed herself from consideration, Melissa Hopkins, John Sparrott, Alfred Hatchett. I'll open it now for discussion and the review of resumes. Councilman Hollins and then Councilman Smiley.
I'm familiar with two of the three, and without really knowing the people, I guess we can just read over the resumes to make it fair. But when we have more people than we have position, something I've struggled with all along to try to prevent this from happening, I mean, how do we really deal with that? And I think that's going to, at one point we tried to avoid this, and now it's seeming like we're just more open, which I guess is a good thing, but it's also a challenge when you have people from the community who are volunteering, who are willing to come forward to volunteer, and then we have to turn them down.
Councilwoman Diller?
I was going to say, I appreciate what you had to say, Councilman Hollins. I do think that what we have tried to do in the past is if there's another board or commission that
that looks like, based on their resume, they would fit, that we've said we have two, but we would like to offer you this opportunity. And I think this happened a couple of times with President Bullock, and the person just wanted to serve, so
right.
they were happy. So I think maybe that's the first thing, is to take a look at the resumes
mm-hmm.
and look at what else is open and see if we can make sure that, you know, those people who want to serve have a place to serve.
Okay.
Anyone else? Councilman Tackett.
Just to piggyback on the previous thing where we talked about the audit committee, and I agree too, the reappointments, we procedurally we've always handled that. Are we planning on bringing the interview in for the next exec meeting, or when would we schedule them to come in to meet with council?
Well, hopefully, week 214. And
yeah.
214,
on,
yeah.
Right. And what about these three, four community services? Maybe what you can do is to bring them all three in and let's just chat with them, and then let's kind of get maybe a pulse on what we feel, or?
I'm opening it up to you. What would discussion, Councilman Smiley?
My thought process is to schedule them in for the interview. Sometimes you will lose a person in that process and will take care of itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
So I think, and then if they come in, we conduct the interviews, that doesn't mean we have to put it on the agenda that night. And in the meantime, following up work. But I know I've looked at, you know, the resumes. I don't see anybody that really isn't qualified. But like I said, a lot of times it'll, you know, the tree will shake itself out as it, I posed one question to an individual and shook that leaf off the tree. So to speak.
Okay. Anyone else?
Look at the interviews in finance, like George McQueen's chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
I need more friends.
Give me the 10 questions.
Okay. Next is fire and ambulance. Currently, all six reappointments have been approved by the county executive, as well as one new appointment. The resume of Gerard Sampson was already distributed. Would anyone like to schedule an interview with the new appointment or any of the reappointments? Councilman Smiley.
Again, I just think it's good for council to be uniform in our process.
Mm-hmm.
So to schedule the new appointment to come in to be before us, so we get to see that person, they get to see us, get to feel whether we ever see them again. I just think it's good. So you get one board member bumping into another one or whatever. Hey, I went in for the, well, I never had to do that. Well, it's, I think it's good for everyone to feel wanted.
Okay.
I'm still waiting.
And then Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. I would agree with Councilman Smalley. We have four, I shouldn't say too many, but we have a number of boards and commissions. And we see these people once, and they are often to wherever. And we never see them again. And for the most part, we don't know who's serving on what board or what commission. Because now we're in a process for reappointments. We normally don't call them in unless we heard something and one council person may decide to bring them in. So we have four too many people just kind of out there. And we probably don't know who they are unless we see them, like you saw this gentleman over the weekend. He says, well, I served on the board for 5 years. I mean, most of us probably don't even know who that person is and that he served for 5 years. And we have a number of people like that. So I think it's important to, at least for people that are being appointed, that they have a commitment to at least meet with us, see who we are, and we see who they are, and encourage them to, you know, communicate with us if they do have ideas or even problems. But far too often, I think, we see the people one time, they're gone, and that's it. And some people serve on some pretty critical boards that we just don't ever see them again. I mean, people on land use, you know, we committee, and we see them one time. Unless we have a land use issue, then we show up over there and we're looking at these people and they're all strangers for the most part. I'm not very comfortable with that, especially on some of these boards and commissions that are very critical. And I've had people on community services board actually complain to me about different issues relating to community services. So I think if these people at least are coming to see us, and I don't think we should continue to reappoint people for three or four terms without them coming in to at least have something face-to-face.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say that then is we want to make this part of the process. So if we have a new process and it's just part of the process, it won't be like I come in and ask you each time, you know, do we want them to come in? We definitely, if they're new, we want them to
for
come
new,
in.
For a new person, officers. Definitely.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
For new people, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't have a process, and that's what I'm trying to get to,
yeah.
is
yeah.
that we have a set process that everybody
yeah.
knows.
That was our process.
Yeah, that was our process.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much been our established process. If we're looking further, and I agree with somewhat what Councilman Hollins is saying, because historically I tell people that are coming in front of me, for I always give a free pass the first time, unless I know the people. And then I try to make as many meetings as I can, and I make the next appointment decision based on what I've seen or what I've heard on the street. So maybe what we want to look at is having a process where if it's a new appointment, we interview them. If they're going beyond a second, in order to have a reappointment, if they're going to a third term, then we bring them in. We tell them we want them to come back before us again.
So before so the reappointed then is
before
what it
means?
The second reappointment.
Yeah, okay. Second reappointment, third appointment, whatever.
Okay.
We want. I think that's more than reasonable.
I agree.
Okay. Councilman Tackett?
And that's fine. That's what council wants to do. That's okay. But I would also recommend maybe perhaps we have a little background on them too. You know, if they're coming in for the reappointment, do you know, did they submit something back saying, yes, I want to be reappointed? Do we know what their attendance record was? I mean, it's very alarming that you just read over there saying that you've got a note from Denny Hartman saying that these people haven't been there for 2 years. I mean, that's, for that to finally hit, you know, our radar. And only thing I will add, too, I mean, I know this is only under this, although, you know, I know it applies to all boards, but the fire and ambulance board is actually a little bit unique in the fact that it's appointed by the chief, so we don't have a whole lot of,
right,
know.
We don't actually,
right.
It's not really our say.
We
just
we said no to one, I don't
have company.
Well, we make sure to serve you.
We have the chief on us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Does isn't everyone know the process for the chiefs? Does anybody not know the process for the chiefs?
Okay. Well, we've had them before, but we've never asked them if they've fought bamboo fires before. We were this time.
Bamboo is very moist. It does not have fires.
Not even with flammable liquids?
Not even with flammable liquids. I tried.
You can't.
My kind of woman. I tried.
I read it, Joyce.
It was the flamethrower that convinced her.
That's how she got new siding.
Because there's just too many.
Okay. Yeah, we'll probably have to split it between the 14th and the following executive committee because there's so many. It would just be too long.
Yeah. So.
Because we already have three county executive appointments coming in.
Yeah, because the three county executive appointments are coming in, too.
Okay. Because right now, I just want to follow up and make sure we're all on the same page. Right now, we're looking at interviewing Martin Taylor, mm-hmm. Melissa Hopkins, John Stroke, Alfred Hatchett, and Gerard.
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Councilman Hollins.
For community services, are all of these council appointments, or are they a mix of council and executive?
Before them is all county council.
This is all council.
These are all council
appointments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Wasabak.
Yeah. I'm Wasabak County. A few years ago, Councilman Weiner, and maybe if you want to chip in when I'm talking, Aldo, feel free, came to a county council executive committee meeting, and he talked about some proposed changes to state code about the Board of Assessment Review. And I think he brought a document, and there was a lot of discussion. And one of the changes was to actually have some qualifications for the people on the Board of Assessment Review, because right now there's not really any qualifications, and the Board of Assessment Review is one of the most important boards in the county. And what happened in that meeting was it was going to be discussed again at a future meeting, and then that never happened, so I think the whole thing just died. And I think there was even discussion about a draft piece of legislation. I'm just a little bit concerned about, because I went to a day of Board of Assessment Review hearings last fall, and I mean, there's one person on the board that I don't think should be on that board. I don't think he has the qualifications. And I think county council should consider if somebody has been an alternate on a board and are now going for a full-time position on the board to interview that person.
Perhaps we can address that in the next two meetings are pretty full, but the following meeting after that, we can schedule it and definitely address it. And maybe have some suggestions, and perhaps you have some also.
Yeah, I have a lot of suggestions. I mean,
Can we put it in writing?
And the county has aged public financial management, PFM, to do a report back in 2011 when Paul Clark was county executive. And they did a 93-page report on assessments. And they had a lot of comments to improve the assessments process. And one of their comments was about the fact that the people on the Board of Assessment Review, there's no qualifications to be a board member. You can have to be somebody out in the street.
That's true.
So, that's anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay, Councilman Hollins, and then Mr. Boyle, and then Lou.
Yeah. Okay. If I heard the auditor correctly, did he say that the state was in the process of...
No, the... I don't think the state is in the process of doing anything. Okay. Councilman Weiner came to county council and said, I think he had a document he passed out. I was not at the meeting, I listened to it on tape, but I think he had a document he passed out with some recommended change. He was proposing us sending a letter
to
the state,
right,
to Dover, saying, these are some changes we'd like to see to the state code for the Board of Assessment Review.
And that's what I thought, but I think if it's a state board, then how do we audit that with our particular criteria?
It's not a state board, it's a county board.
But the state created it under certain conditions.
Created it.
So if the state created the board and the state is void of criteria, then can we alter that by putting in county criteria? That's the question.
I'm saying Councilman Weiner was proposing
lobbying
the state. Lobbying
the state, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But that didn't go forward. So he was saying that because he wanted to see these changes occur, but he felt that they would occur only through the state mechanism, not through our own independent mechanism.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how do we achieve that if we're somehow now in violation of the state code, that the state have set this board up?
I'm not aware that we're in violation of state code. I never said that we're in violation of state
code. No. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry.
Okay.
what I'm trying to get some clarity around, the state set this board up, and now we're saying we want to institute additional criteria of a board that was set up by the state of Delaware. That's a legal question we would have to ask, because oftentimes if the state sets something up, then in order to change that, we have to go through the state, as Councilman Weiner was considering.
Yeah, right.
So my point is that, at this point, everything you're saying is valid, but can we arbitrarily just decide, well, this is what we're going to do, this is the criteria we're going to use, and then we're not, okay. Then it has to be more than just a conversation with us. It has to be, a conversation with the state as well.
Yeah, definitely. But in that meeting, there were a lot of council members who seemed to be in favor of some of these changes.
Including myself, but I'm just saying, how do we get there?
Mr. Boyle?
Maybe I can answer that question. This particular board, of all the boards that we're responsible for as the council, this has been the most difficult one. Most of them, because the VAs have handled them before, from the VAs to the present, they've done pretty good job, except for this one. The history of it is that we never changed it from, it was created for the seven districts, or the six districts, rather than 13 districts. So what happened was, when Council President Clark came in, he decided that, okay, we're not going to change the law to make less members or more members. What we're going to do is we're going to change it that, you know, the person from the first district has to agree with the person from the seventh district. Okay, which is the sister district. Sometimes that didn't work so well, to be very frank. So, unbeknown to us, during Mr. Clark's administration, is the administration went down and changed the law, which was sponsored by Senator Peterson, to change it to exactly how I described it to you. Now, it has to be the person from the first and the person from the seventh have to agree on one person. Again, sometimes it doesn't always, there's not always an agreement. So at this point right now, we have six members and six alternates. Now, even some of the people that are mentioned here today, they said one person said, well, they haven't been here in 3 years. They have been here in 3 years. Some of these people have never been reappointed. There's that one particular person that was mentioned, I believe was probably somewhere around 2001, 2002 was appointed. Well, what happened was, a lot of these boards is, if you're not, you can go on forever if with if nobody's ever replaces you. If this term can go forever. So at one particular case, when we needed a quorum, we called the people that maybe have been there a couple years, and they showed up. And so occasionally we run into the problem with, you know, you can say you can take people off and everything, but the problem you always ran into is, do we have enough for quorum?
Yeah.
If we don't have a quorum, we don't have a meeting. But that's the history on that particular one. You know, the change, I think what Councilman Weiner wanted to do was to say, look, instead of having alternates, one, we just have 12 members or whatever, okay? Or you just take away the district restriction and have 7 members. You can have either one. But at this point in time, it's very difficult between the one and the sister. We're not, and one of the changes, if you keep the alternates, is the alternates only have a 1-year term. The 1-year term is a killer. I mean, because we're constantly reappointing people. And instead of having, you know, if the term is 4 years, make them all 4 years.
Okay, just
my point is that can we do any of that without the state agreeing?
Well, that's what I'm going to.
That is the hang up here. I mean, the history I'm very familiar with, and I'm familiar with the alternates and so forth. And when that change occurred, and Councilman Street and I agreed with the person that was there, but it's not worth a fight with me and Councilman Street on who serves on the Board of Assessment. And if it is between the first and the seventh, then that's not unusual. Then whoever gets 7 votes is the person that sits on the first and the eighth, I'm sorry.
First and the seventh never had an issue for that.
One moment, and then it'll be Councilman Title 9, Chapter 13, Subchapter 1, 13, 17, and 18. Just to answer your question, it does not have criteria for members of the board. So that would probably be one thing that you do want to do. I can pass this around so everybody can...
I agree with you 100%. I'm saying that I'm agreeing with what everybody is saying here. But my only question is, can we do that without the state?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
So if we want to have more criteria, if we want to have 12 people on the board or 3 people on the board, I just don't think that's within our
we can't change
jurisdiction.
It.
So we have a discussion about something we can't do anything about anyway.
Councilwoman Dillard.
Okay.
And Mr. Hinkle probably has some information.
I vaguely remember Councilman Weiner's legislation. I'll defer to Mr. Hinkle for the first part of this and ask, do you still have a copy of that, Mr. Hinkle? Okay. So maybe we can get a copy so we can all see this, right? All right. So the second part is, if the council people have to make the decision about who will fill this, if we had some suggestions about the type of people that we would want, then we could fill it like that. Because we're the ones who are doing the appointment. I'm not even sure I want to go to the state about this thing. Let's just figure out what we need and just go and do it then.
You can do that, but you can't make that part of the criteria.
Yes, that's right.
But
that's
you can appoint anyone you want, then it comes to the politics. So
agree.
Every person, and these people are coming from specific districts. So
I know.
Councilman Street and I may agree on someone that doesn't fit this particular criteria, and so what? That person has to come from our district.
Right.
Between the two of us.
Well, but it doesn't mean we can't talk about
what... Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick, and then Mr. Smiley. No, she answered your question?
No, she didn't.
Okay. You were hesitating.
So. Yeah, I know. No, just giving bad...
I was just giving George a bad look,
because I got to go first. okay. I was just wearing pink. And Kenny has a real problem with that.
Technically, it's razz.
I've been in his closet. He has no problem with me.
Are you saying you just came out of the closet?
Yeah.
Not been out of the closet.
Long time ago.
I would think that if we know what the state law is, we know what the county law is, that then we turn it over to the attorney and we say, in each of these boards, what do we have the ability to do or not do? And then we've got a legal opinion on it, because for 10 of us to sit here and argue back and forth is ridiculous, because none of us know the law.
Except okay, Councilman Smiley? Or and then we've got Mr. Hinkle, who's
going to
finish it up.
I'm going to speak at the executive committee meeting on this, so I'm just going to say one word in support of what you're saying, and that is audit committee. We are where we are now because
things were changed, and we don't want to get into that again, so I
correct.
Agree.
But all we need to know from him is what we can do and what we can't
right.
do, and because, I'm going to interrupt you 1 second. Wait, point of order, Mr. Hinkle's been waiting a long time.
Yeah, right.
Well,
Mr. Hinkle's boss should have come in.
That's right, he's enjoying the vacation, and we're not, so. And we're going to get 8 inches of snow, according to Kenny's phone.
Where'd you get that phone from, Kenny?
It's your councilwoman Kapanek. And then, please, Mr. H- do you have the answer that we're waiting for? That we're going.
Not to my question, he does.
Okay. Councilwoman Kapanek.
I don't even know what I was going to say anymore.
Well, you beat George.
Are
so,
you done?
George,
okay.
I'm done, I guess.
Number one, let's be clear. 1 in 7 never had an issue. Don't look at that one. But in response, just to follow up Mr. Boyle, when you talk about expanding the number of people, unless you also mandate that the quorum remains the same, you just make your problem bigger.
Yeah, right.
Because your quorum grows. Your quorum requirement grows. So, and as far as criteria, until now, really, we've been looking for breathing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
And then I'll yield to Mr. Hinkle.
And we have Mr. Hinkle. He's been so patient. Mr. Hinkle's been very patient.
The only thing I was going to suggest is you defer this conversation until the councilor returns, and I'm certain he'll be able to answer all your questions, because there may have already been a legal opinion sought in regards to what we can and cannot do. And I do believe that the legislation wasn't moved forward because the lack of support either through council or through the state legislature. But I have all the information everyone needs, and I'm certain that once the councilman returns, I think it would be prudent for council to wait for that, so we have all the information necessary, especially from them, and move forward with any questions that you have.
Thank you. Councilman Collins.
Let's make sure we schedule a 3-hour meeting for this.
Well, that's, are we going to get anybody coming?
Well, apparently Councilman Weiner, so he just busted my head.
That's
what
I wanted to
defer. Maybe we can do it at a technology meeting.
That's not right.
That's not right. My suggestion would be not to allow him to chair it. I would let him speak.
Get on the record.
Yeah, it's the date.
This is still on.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to weigh in? Okay. Other, are there any other agenda items?
We hope not.
Does anyone from the public wish to address council? Seeing none?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned.
Are you kidding me?